More to the Story is back for this week on WNCW. I'm your host, Paul Foster. Today, we review a story which is the first of a three-part series, Mud in the Blood. This one about wood-firing potters carry the torch in rural western North Carolina. My guest is a writer and reporter with the Daily Yonder, Anya Slepian. Welcome and share more about yourself.
Sure. Hi, my name is Anya Patron Slepian. I am, like you said, a reporter and multimedia producer with the Daily Yonder. I recently had the chance to visit Marshall, North Carolina, and meet some potters there.
Before we break down your story, tell us more about the Daily Yonder, its purpose when it comes to its features and stories.
Sure. So we are a national nonprofit newsroom that covers rural issues all over the country. And we cover issues ranging from politics, energy, environment, prison issues, pop culture, all sorts of things. And this project was part of a series about pottery in North Carolina, which is part of a larger project about Appalachian folk life that we're working on.
I get the feeling through your story that you're telling much more than just the story of an artist, of these potters. They make a beautiful creation. And we're not just talking about looking at a beautiful mug or a bowl or plate. They're helping bring together community. And also, I think it was a great time in Marshall in particular for some healing because of what they had been through due to Helene.
Yes, the main artist who I spoke with, Josh Kopis, he is a potter there, but he also runs a business, a art hotel that is the Old Marshall Jail, which is a really, really neat hotel. There's a restaurant associated too, which just opened after Helene. And so I actually believe I was the first paying customer back after the hurricane. So that was exciting to be a part of that and to see the way that the town is rebuilding.
So these potters, they're creating, and the tradition of a kiln has been around for so many years, the use of fire, of course, and they want to keep that tradition going, don't they?
Yeah, so of course, there's always some level of adaptation and change to any traditional process, but when you get down to the root of it, using wood to fuel a kiln is a really old practice and something that's been done for thousands of years. This particular version of it started in East Asia, so Japan, Korea, China. You know, they do use some modern technology as part of that too. So they have thermometers, they use cone packs to measure temperature, which were developed during the Industrial Revolution. Yeah, but fundamentally, they are doing something that has been done for a really long time and is a really integral part of human history.
Speaking of kilns, I noticed the picture in the story, and it looked like this was a gigantic kiln referred to as a Chinese dragon. Explain more about that.
So the kiln that they fired is a Naborigama kiln, which is a Japanese style of kiln. It's a climbing kiln, which means it's multiple chambers that sort of progress up a hill. And so what you do is you fire off the first chamber first, get it to temperature. And this temperature is about 2400 degrees Fahrenheit, so very, very hot. And then you progressively, once that one has reached that temperature, you then start adding wood to the second and then eventually to the third chambers. Those are developed in about the 17th century in Japan. They're based off of kilns that are developed earlier that we just had one chamber but went up like that. And those kilns themselves are based off of Chinese dragon kilns. So there's a lot of sort of cultural mixing and traditions that are all mixed up in this, you know, sort of simple question of how do you even fire a pot.
More to the story's guest is Anya Slepian, writer reporter with the Daily Yonder. The story, Mud in the Blood. Wood-firing potters carry the torch in rural western North Carolina, Marshall, to be specific. What was this that you wrote about that was nonstop for 3 days that had to do with the preparation and had to do with a very hot temperature getting back to the kiln again?
The firing itself took 72 hours, and that meant around the clock there were people watching the kiln and feeding wood into it. So like every minute of every day for 72 hours, there were people on the site doing this labor. And that's kind of only part of it because they also have to do all of this prep work before and a lot of stuff afterwards too. They have to mix wadding. Of course, they have to make the pottery, which is not an easy thing to do either. That takes time. But once the pottery is made, it has to be glazed. Then it has to be put on these little pieces of clay called wadding. It has to load the kiln. It's 300 cubic feet of space that they're loading. They are gathering wood, they are chopping wood, they are sorting wood, they are stacking wood. They're doing all of that stuff. And then they get to the point where they fire it for 3 continuous days. Really, really labor intensive, this process.
Another portion of your story was titled The Flames Went Higher. Give some background on that.
Yeah, so that is a Johnny Cash lyric, and that is because in addition to all of this work that was going on and all of this art that was going on, there's also a community aspect that I think is really interesting and a really important part of wood firing. And it manifests itself different ways, but as I mentioned, I mean, you have this team of people, they're working together really strenuous hours around the clock, and so sometimes they have to cut loose and have a little fun. The way that they did it in this community was they called it kilnyoki, and so it's karaoke with themed music, first songs about temperature and fire, and then songs about transformation. And so, of course, Johnny Cash's Ring of Fire was one of the songs that was sung and done really well.
I think another thing that the Daily Yonder did very well with the story was to include a lot of photos, especially there on the website.
One of the exciting things about the way that this kiln is fired is that about half of the work is Josh Kopis's. So he's the main artist behind it, and this is his kiln. It's on his property. And then the other half of the kiln space is used for all of these different artists that come together and help support. And so everybody is doing really different things. So Josh, for example, has these really big angular vessels. He describes them as feeling like rocks. And these are, you know, sort of really big statue type things. And it ranges from that to people making really functional stuff like plates and mugs. Some people were making miniatures, so they're really tiny little mugs like a doll might have. So yeah, a huge scope of, you know, different people's creative imaginings that all came out of this one firing.
I want to remind our audience that this is the first article, the first of a three-part series by the Daily Yonder and Anya, your work as well, Mud in the Blood, and it takes us down different trails, wood firing, pottery. What do you think in looking back at the first story? Is this about community? Is this about healing? Is it about how anybody, no matter their background, can come together, can pass on something to someone else? That of a piece of pottery that makes them feel better, maybe even provides them some hope after difficult times.
Yeah, I mean, all of those things that you mentioned, I think are sort of the main parts of the article that I found the most interesting. I do think that there's something unique about wood firing just because of the labor involved, because it's something you can't do by yourself. Josh describes it as a team sport. It also, I think, to make handmade pottery in this day and age is already sort of an exercise of doing something slower and the more difficult way, right? There are so many easier ways to get a mug or something to drink coffee out of than to make it yourself. And I think wood firing takes that to the extreme because there are so many easier ways to fire a mug that you've made yourself than to wood fire it. It really shows people's commitment to sort of intention, to honoring the roots of the craft, and to really honoring the products that they're making and putting just this extra amount of effort and time and care, like you said, people can use in their homes every day.
Before I let you go, tell everybody how they could follow your entire story and look for more of the ongoing series.
So you'll find us at www.dailyyonder.com. We're also on Instagram and Facebook. If you search Daily Yonder, we're the only ones. And we also have a YouTube channel where you can see about a 9-minute video that also sort of chronicles the process of wood firing.
The Daily Yonder's Anya Slepian. Thank you very much.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
More to the story podcast are available at wncw.org. I'm Paul Foster.